without further ado, I want to introduce Carly Terradez. Please come on back up. Give a round of applause, guys.
Us girls, we don't travel light, do we? We always have all kinds of paraphernalia with us, you know. You know, this morning I was so blessed. Nicole texts me. She's got such a sweetheart. Let me just say thank you to Nicole. Let's say thank you to Nicole. She's awesome. Amen. This is a beautiful center. And I just, when I see Nicole, something about Nicole, when she walks into the room, it's like she changes the atmosphere. You know, she's always smiling, she's always happy, and when you'd never know by looking at her where she's come from. And, you know, it's not, her life hasn't been easy, right? If you've heard her testimony, she's come from a place of darkness, of despair, and this is the picture, stand up, this is a picture of an overcomer. Amen? This is God's testament to his goodness, thank you. And this center is beautiful, and I know that it's what God put in your heart, and this gives glory to him. Amen. Amen. You give glory to him. What you've allowed God to do through you brings him glory. Amen. Amen. And I just feel the Father heart of God. He's proud of you. Amen. Amen. He's just super proud of you. You know, she texted me this morning and she said to me, "What kind of coffee do you want?" I'm like, "Come on, let's get the, you know, priorities, right? We've got to get this, And I'm like, "I don't know what that thing was last night with the lavender and stuff in it, but like, I want to try one of those things." So she said, "Okay, I'm gonna get it for you. I'm gonna get your coffee ready. Come to my office and pick it up right before service starts." So we go in there, and let me tell you, I'm just still sipping on this. It's, what is it, blackberry and lavender and mocha, or what, white chocolate? This is a dessert in a cup. This is like angel tears. When angels cry, it goes into this cup. Okay, I'm just saying, I feel much more closer to God and holy after drinking it. So there you go. Come on, right? And Jesus and coffee. We got to get our priorities right. But you know, one thing that struck me was she went to the effort of asking me, "What do you want? What do you want? Asking you shall receive. What do you want?" I said, "I want one of those." She goes, "Okay, you got it. But you got to come to my office and come get it." Now, what I could have done was I could have walked in here. I could have walked around and said, "You know what I'd really like? I would really like one of those fancy coffees, you know, with the blackberry and the lavender and the white mocha." And Nicole be like, "What do you mean? I already got you one. You asked and I got it and I put it. You just have to go take it." I'm like, "No, but you see, I've been praying and I've been believing God and I'm tarrying and I'm fasting and I've got the prayer circle praying. I'm just standing to believe that someday, one day soon, I'm going to receive a blackberry, lavender, white, chocolate, vanilla, coconut, whatever it is. I'm praying for that thing. I'm believing God. Right? And she'd be like, "What do you mean? I've already done it for you. I've paid for it. You don't even have to give the money. It's here. All you have to do is receive it." Don't we do that sometimes? Right? We get the prayer chain going. Oh, now I'm killing some sacred cows here. Okay, we get people together in prayer and we say, we believe in God. We got our believers on. We're doing it. We're praying. We're fasting. We're tarrying. We're binding. We're loosing. You know, we're stretching out our tent pegs. We're doing all the right Christian things, but we're not receiving. And isn't that frustrating? Well, today I want to look at something because there is a part that we play in receiving, okay? And sometimes, even though the provision's been made, even though Jesus has already done it all, you know, we talked about this last night, he has great and precious promises, amen? And he's a promise keeper, and when he gave his word, you can take it to the bank. We talked about that last night, that the promises of God are yes and amen. But we have to say amen to his yes. He's already said yes, but we have to respond. It's like when you get the RSVP to the party, okay? If you want to show up, you can't just show up and eat the food. No one's going to be blessed by the fact that you didn't RSVP, but you just try and show up and eat the food, okay? We got to send back the invitation. We got to respond and say, "Yep, I'm taking that invitation. I'm coming to the party. I'm ready to receive." Let's look here in Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone," say everyone, "who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." You see, often we get to the asking part, right? Asking or begging. Oh, that's not attractive, right? No one likes a beggar. It's not attractive. We're not designed to be beggars in the kingdom of God. We're not slaves. We're not servants. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that gives us rights as children of God to walk in like we own the place. We're blessed where we have our ministry offices there above our church building. And so, you know, our pastor, Pastor Lawson Perdue, he's awesome. How many of you have ever heard Pastor Lawson Perdue teach? He's phenomenal. You know, he doesn't charge us. We are very blessed. He doesn't charge us for office space or anything like that. He just blesses us with space in his building. And so we say to Pastor Lawson, you know what? Pastor, just walk in like you own the place. He does. So he does. He owns the place, right? And he just walks in, and it's awesome, and we love it. You know, we're thankful. But we need to have that attitude. We are children of the Most High God, and we have some rights. We don't have to come crawling into the throne of grace begging to receive. We're not beggars. You know, this word ask here is in the Greek. It means, it's a teo. It means to require, to obtain. It doesn't say please. You know, when we grow up in families, good raising will teach you good manners, right? It's good to say please and thank you. But there are some things in the kingdom of God that we don't have to say please for. We're not please, please, may I, can I, if God, if you would just show, so shine your light upon me and look graciously upon me. You know, we don't have to creep in towards the throne room. No, we can stride on in there. It says, Father, Dad, I'm home. I'm home, right? My kids have got this down. They come home and they hit the refrigerator. That's what they do. Right? Come on, they know what's what. Now that we've had to set some boundaries, you know, don't put the empty milk carton back in the fridge. Okay? You can drink the last of the milk, but just let us know, okay? Right? But they don't walk in and, you know, you meet a toddler. You've never seen a toddler just begging and please, will you provide for me, mummy and daddy? Please, will you pay the mortgage? Please, will you make sure I get a good education? Please, will you protect me? Please, will you feed me? You don't see a young child begging their parent in that way, do you? They've got it down. They know where the source of food is at. Even my dogs know where the source of food is at, right? We were talking about this, weren't we? Right? They know who feeds them. You know, when we grow up in a loving family, we know who our source of provision is, as Ashley was talking about. We know who our source of protection is. We don't have to go begging. We just go and participate in what's provided for us. Amen. That's a picture of a healthy family. We have a healthy family in the family of God. Amen. But this word ask, it means to require, to obtain, to take it. Take it. It says, and it will be given to you. Ask, require it, demand it, and it will be given to you. You know, as children of God, we have a right to demand the promises of God manifest in our life. They're already paid for, just like my coffee this morning, right? I didn't have to go into the coffee shop back there in the cafe and demand anything. I didn't even have to pay for it. I just had to receive it. I had to place a demand in order to receive. That's quite different from begging and wondering if it's going to show up, right? There's a different mindset here. He says, it will be given to you. This word given, it means, it's didymai. It means to return something to somebody that already belongs to them. Think about that for a moment. When we ask in the right way, when we to go to God with the promises of God and place a demand on those promises, it's going to be returned to us because it already belongs to us. He said, you know what, that healing, I'm taking that, that's mine. There's an attitude, there's an authority there. You see that? Yeah. We're not asking God to do something. Oh, that healing, I believe that's mine. I'll take that. That prosperity, I believe that's mine. I'll take that. What about that freedom, that deliverance? I'll take some of that as well. Thank you very much. They belong to me. They're my rights. I'm not asking, wondering if it's going to show up. I'm taking it back. It belongs to me. You know, it's time that we started taking back what the devil stole. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, I believe he went down to the hill to hell and he stole the keys. He said, I'm taking, you know what, this whole thing, it's all mine. Everything's mine. You have no power. You have no authority. I'm taking those keys back. Thank you very much. All the power, all the authority, they belong to me and my kingdom, not you. You don't rule this place. I'll rule this place. Amen. I'll run this town. This is Jesus' town. This is Jesus' house. Amen. And you can say the same thing about your body. He says your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Say, my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, if someone came along and they started to break into your house, okay? Heaven forbid. I mean, you're sitting on your couch, kicking back in your lazy boy, changing the channel on the remote, eating your popcorn, trying to watch the game. Someone's trying to get in the front door. Well, you're just going to say, they're beating on the door. Let me in. Now, hang in a minute. That's not polite. You're an intruder trying to get in my house. No! You know, you wouldn't just sit there passively flipping the channels, trying to ignore them. There would be something on that, especially if you've got family at home. How many of you got young family at home, right? If there was somebody coming in the house and they were trying to be threatening and abusive, you wouldn't just, you know, kick your recliner and put your feet up and just say, oh, you know, take whatever you want, would you? No, you would say, hang on, this is wrong. This is my house. This is my family. These are my things. These possessions belong to me, not to you. How dare you come in this place? There would be some righteous, holy anger coming on the inside of you. And you would go to bat for your family, wouldn't you? Then why don't we go to bat for ourselves? You know, there's a part of us sometimes that thinks that we're not worthy. Or we've fed into the lies for so long. Maybe, you know, Ashley mentioned this, that we deserve this, that things just can't get any better, and you know, this is just the way it's going to be forever. We start to settle for being stolen from. It's a travesty. No, you know, the enemy has no rights to steal from you. He has no rights to enter your body, the temple of God. He has no rights to manifest in your home or in your workplace. You are a child of God with rights, amen? And that changes some things. When we start to understand what promises Jesus paid for us to live in, we will stop allowing the devil to steal from us. We'll stop allowing it. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. So what is this? This is the receive conference. So what does this word receive mean? It's lambano, and it means to take, to seize, to claim, to make one's own, or to get back. It's time we take back what the devil stole. Amen. So today I want to share with you some things that we've learned along the way, that even though the promises of God are yes and amen, we have a part to play in receiving them. You know, the promises of God, they don't just come to pass in our life automatically. You know, you didn't just wake up one day and say, I think I got saved last night. I don't know what happened there, but, you know, I went to bed a sinner. I think I just woke up saved. I accidentally got healed, right? Ooh, accidentally got delivered. I don't know how that happened. It just came upon me. No, nothing, none of these things happened by accident. You think back to when, you know, you're already an expert at receiving, by the way. Let me just break this lie. Your receiver ain't broken, okay? You already know how to receive the promises of God. How many saved people do I have in here? Okay, if you're not, we can fix that at the end, right? But listen, you've already received the biggest prize there is, which is Jesus. He's the container of everything else you're ever going to need. Amen? You're already carrying around on the inside of you, in the person of Jesus, all the healing power that you're ever going to need. You're already walking around carrying all the prosperity that you're ever going to need, all the deliverance, all of the forgiveness, all of the freedom, all the safety, favor, protection, all of that you're ever going to need already on the inside of you. You're containers of the King of Glory. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? Say, I'm a container of the King of Glory. Man, it should change how we look at ourselves when we look at our face in the mirror, shouldn't it? When we start to recognize the glory of God that's on the inside of us. But you know, the promises of God, they don't just come to pass automatically. We have a part to play in this receiving. Ask and we shall receive. Ask, demand, obtain, right? And it will be returned to us what belongs to us already. Man, that's a powerful truth. I want to look at someone in the scriptures here that kind of got this down. This was this is Abraham. We're going to go on over to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. Now we know, many of us are familiar with this story. This was Abraham to start with. And in verse 1 it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. So he's pretty old. And he said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I'll make my covenant between you and me and will exceedingly multiply you. There's a covenant. There was an arrangement. There was a contract. We went over this last night. An unbreakable contract, a bond between him and God, that God promised him something. Now, the thing that is really significant about this was because Abraham and Sarai at that time were barren. Okay, now he's 99. Now, even with modern science, we haven't figured out how to make a 99-year-old give birth, okay? So this, back then, was pretty amazing. It says, Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, my covenant is with you, and you should be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer will your name be Abraham, but it will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout all of their generations for an everlasting covenant. Man, this was good news, right? He says, all of the land of Canaan where you now live as strangers, I'm going to give this to you and to your descendants for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This was a life-changing moment. Not only was Abraham, now to be Abraham, about to be the father of generations of children in the face of adversity when biologically would have been impossible, but he was about to become very prosperous. His family was about to be healed, whole, healthy, and prosperous. How many of you want to sign up for that program? Okay, that's pretty good news, right? But God, and God said to him, your name's going to be Abraham. You know what happened there? He inserted the H in there, the letter H. And actually, that's part of God's name, Jehovah. He says, or Yahweh, right? And so he inserted a piece of him into Abraham. And what that means, if you study that out, is it now means God with Abraham. Abraham in itself means God with Abraham. God is with you. And you know, one thing is becomes very different in our life. How many of you weren't always saved? Do you remember the time you got saved, right? You lived a life before Christ. I'm very familiar with my life before Christ, okay? I got saved when I was 17. And so I'm very thankful that I can have a clear turning point in my life. I know what my life was like before, and I know what my life was like after. Let me say, when I got born again, the God with me, the God with Carly kind of life was remarkably different. You know, when we receive God, when we receive Jesus, God is with us. Amen. Now, God's always for us. He's always Emmanuel. He's always God with us. But when we receive him, there's something changes. We start to recognize that. It changes some things. So it says, God with Abraham. It changed some things. He made a covenant and agreement that was unbreakable with him. And this was important. But, you know, even though God was with him, even though there were some promises that had been made, there was still a process that Abraham had to go through in order to see that manifest. Let me tell you, there was only one immaculate conception, and it didn't start with Abraham and Sarah, okay? At some point, they got the word of the Lord that came to them, and God spoke to them and says, you're gonna have a child. And after that, at some point, Abraham would say, Sarah, you know what that means, don't you? Let's go back to the tent, right? Let's go back to the tent, right? I mean, let's get to practicing because, you know, God's about to multiply us. There needed to be a response to the invitation. And we forget that sometimes. In all of our asking, we need to make sure we truly are asking and not begging. Because there is a phrase, I'm just believing God for. And I don't know about you, it's come out of my mouth. But I hear it a lot. I'm believing God for, and then there's no fruit. Can anyone relate to that? And all that is frustration. It's frustrating. It's different before you knew the truth, before you knew the promises were available. You were just ignorant, right? You didn't know God could do that kind of stuff. Anyone relate to that, right? But then when you realize, hang on a minute, promises of God, healing's available? Prosperity's available? Man, I want some of that. And then you get to that point where you're believing, right, whatever that means, but you're not seeing any fruit, and then you move into a place called frustration, right? Before you might have been ignorant, you didn't know any better, but once you know better and then you don't see, it's just frustrating. So with this believing, this phrase, I'm believing God, sometimes really bothers me because we get lazy, right? And there is a process which we kind of shipwreck. That word ask You know, there is an action to it. It's an action word. It means it's to go and it's to take, and it's to take back what is yours. To take back, there's not a passivity there. When we ask for something, we're not wondering whether it's going to show up. Like, I'm just believing God. Well, I don't know. I'm saying something spiritual, but it doesn't really mean anything because my daily life hasn't changed. Right? We started out where we were speaking, where we were speaking the word, where we were pursuing the word, where we were meditating on the word, where we were speaking it daily over our circumstances or over our symptoms. When symptoms arose, you know, we were on it. But then, you know, I don't know, stuff happens and we get weary and we get tired and we get frustrated because we're not seeing anything. And then we stop speaking. Can anyone relate to this? Right? But we still say we believe in God, but actually we're not really doing anything. Come on, right? We've all been there, haven't we? Because we're saying all of the right things that we know people want to hear. But really, when it comes into our heart, we've just become to a place of being stagnant, of being still, of being disappointed, of being frustrated. Now, this is the Receive Conference. And I believe that God has brought you here because he wants you to receive, to go beyond that place of being stuck, to being unstuck, of being stagnant to being receiving. Amen? But to do that, we have to come to a place in our hearts where we're honest with ourselves. And sometimes that can be a little uncomfortable, but don't worry, it's going to get better. Amen? Stick with me. But we have to be real, because what does believing God really mean? Because when we see it in the scripture, believing God isn't passive. You know, if Abraham had just said to God, well, I'm just believing you, God, and not said, Sarah, let's go back to the tent, you know what? Those generations wouldn't have happened. There has to be some corresponding actions to when we're believing something. Asking isn't passive. If you want to do the asking and the receiving, remember everyone who asks receives? But we're in this Christian world thinking, well, I've done a whole lot of asking, but I haven't been receiving. Well, you know, it says in Scripture, you ask amiss. There's a way to ask. There's a way to ask. There's an expectation and an action and a following through. That's the movement of faith that goes beyond just those words. So God spoke to Abraham and he told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Literally, all he had to go on in that point was a word from God. And that was all he needed. This is really, really important. You know, as she shared the testimony of our daughter Hannah, you know, one of the things that really didn't hit me in the moment, but it did afterwards, was when the moment at which Hannah was prayed for. Now, we'd prayed for Hannah a lot of times, you know, but we didn't pray a prayer of faith. And James says it's the prayer of faith that'll heal the sick. You can do a lot of asking without a lot of fruit. And it's, what are you asking? How are you praying? It's important. And, you know, you can't pray a prayer of faith unless you know the will of God. Because faith only operates where the will of God is known. Someone needs to write that down. Faith will only operate where the will of God is known. You can't pray a prayer of faith of trust and confidence. You can't ask, in other words, demand and obtain that Jesus return to you what's rightfully yours if you don't know what's rightfully yours in the first place, right? If you're unaware, if you're just maybe ignorant, you just don't know what you don't know, then you're not going to be asking correctly. And so Abraham and Sarah, they didn't have a whole lot there. They didn't have any evidence in the natural. They had to go on a word from God. When we prayed that prayer for Hannah, you know, we didn't see any change on the outside of her for a period of time. She was asleep in the stroller when we prayed for her. But one thing we had to go on wasn't the outward appearance, because there was nothing changed in the natural. But we had a word from God, and we knew that word from God was all we needed. If it was going to work for Abraham and Sarah, it's going to work for us. We got a much richer covenant in Jesus than Abraham ever had. Man, he didn't know that Jesus was going to come and die for him. He didn't have a whole book of scripture. He didn't have, you know, friends that had been through similar things. He didn't have testimonies to go back and encourage himself with, right? He was out there on his own, but he had a word from God, and he knew that word from God, he was a promise that God wasn't going to break. It was a promise that it was a covenant, and God's a promise keeper. And so he stood on that, and we stood on that word with Hannah, and we went and we fed her, something that she couldn't do in the natural. But, you know, if we'd have gone by our natural five senses, we'd have thought, well, I don't know if it's worked or not. Guess we'll wait and see. You know, I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. And then carried on our everyday life. And a lot of times I realize that we pray that way. We'll pray a prayer and we'll start out really good. We'll maybe even start out asking the correct way. And we'll say, I believe, I receive. But when we don't see something change immediately, then we just go about our daily business like we did when we walked in. And our actions and our words aren't matching up. One thing that we realized in that moment that was really significant, we can't pray a prayer and carry on acting the same way we did before the prayer if we really believe the prayer. If we really believe the God and the words that we just spoke. So I said, well, I guess we either believe she's healed or she's not healed. Simple as that. We either believe it or we don't believe it. If we believe it, that we've spoken and we've spoken healing to her body, and we believe that she's received it even though we can't see it, what do we do now? And you know what we did? Something that came naturally. This is really important. If you know the word of God on the inside of you and you meditate in the word of God, you don't even, it's almost like you can operate on autopilot and the word of God is going to bear fruit. This is the parable of the sower. What do seeds do? They grow. They bear fruit. You sow the word of God in your heart, it's going to do exactly what it says on the tin, right? It's going to bear fruit. It's going to bear fruit. As long as you keep it in your heart, it's going to bear fruit. And so that fruit, you know, we had to look at Hannah and look beyond what we could see. You know, when seeds are growing, you don't see much going on below the soil, do you? There's always more going on than what you see. There's a whole lot more growth in that seed as it puts down roots before you ever see it shoot up through the ground. You know, this is a fun fact here. I'm going off piece a little bit here. This is a fun fact. But, you know, bamboo shoots, they're like they're the fastest growing organism on earth. Right? They used to use them as a form of torture because they grow so fast you can almost see it. Certain species of bamboo. They'd strap people to them and let them literally be kebabbed by it, the enemies, right? Because they grow so quickly. But that bamboo shoot that grows so quickly in one single direction, it does all the growing up before it ever puts out any side branches. All the growth is focused. It's directed. It's just on a mission. Before it gets distracted with side branches, it does one straight shot. Well, for 5 years, that seed is putting its root system down. 5 years. Imagine the farmer growing bamboo. He has nothing to show for his efforts for 5 years. Nothing. How's your trees growing? Don't know. They're growing, right? I mean, no one can see. There's no evidence of anything going on above the soil for 5 years. And then all of a sudden, in one small, short growing season, that thing just shoots right up out of the ground. And everyone can finally see what the farmer knew was happening all along. Man, this is important. We've got to move away. If we want to receive, we've got to move away from being so obsessed by what we see with our five senses. It's really important. Because, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. There were things going on in Hannah when we prayed for her that you couldn't see above ground. That wasn't an above ground moment. That wasn't an outside of the flesh kind of thing where everyone can see. When we laid hands on her, she didn't suddenly just jump up out of the stroller and run around like our 3 and 4 year olds were. She still looked like she was dying. She still looked like she did a moment before. But in our hearts, we chose to believe the word from God, knowing in the word from God is more than enough power to fulfill it. That's a word for someone today. There's more than enough power in the word that God's given you for him to fulfill it. More than enough. That word that he gave you, that promise that he gave you, whatever promise it is that you're standing on, there's more than enough power to get you across to the other side of the storm. More than enough power to get you what you need in that moment. More than enough. But in order to receive, having first asked, we got to make sure that we are taking possession, that our words and our actions are matching up. And you know, in that moment, we just decide we're going to do what comes naturally. It's lunchtime, we're hungry, we're going to go feed this girl. And, you know, afterwards, we had people that said, man, you must have really stretched out your faith. You must have really, you know, thought about this carefully because, you know, if you'd have fed her and she'd have died, you know, the government would have come and taken your other two children away. I'm like, oh, I'm glad you weren't there. We didn't think about it. We didn't consider all the reasons why the word wasn't going to work for us. You know, what we consider is almost as important, or what we don't consider is almost as important as what we do consider. Oftentimes, we'll pray and we'll say something, but then if we don't see something manifest instantaneously, we'll disregard what's going on in the spirit realm and give up and be frustrated. Or maybe we'll quit speaking. Maybe we'll get quiet. Maybe we'll get a little bit tired or weary or lazy, right? We've all done that in the battle. We're all guilty of that at some point, aren't we? This isn't about condemnation, but we have to get down to what's going on at our heart level. If we want to receive and we want to come unstuck, we've got to do something different from what we're doing if we want to get different results. Does that make sense? So Abraham and Sarah, they went and they put some action to their faith. Now, there was a process that got Abraham there. I want to show you this in just go back a couple of chapters into Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. This is really important. And God says in verse 1, he says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abraham. I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. He's trying to paint a picture here on the inside of him, okay? Do not fear, Abraham. I'm your shield. You know this word shield? It means protection or armed defense. God's got his back. God's got your back, amen? He's your armed defense and your exceedingly great reward. He was saying to Abraham, I'm your El Shaddai. I'm your provider. I'm your protector. I'm your almighty one. I'm everything that you need. Everything that you need. You know, in verse 4, Genesis 15, verse 4, it says, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but a son from your own body will be your heir. And look at what he did. He says, he brought him outside the tent and said to him, look up towards heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to them, so will your descendants be. You know, in a passage later on, he says, more than the grains of sand on the seashore, more than the grains of sand, so many will your descendants be. You know, there had to be a point where he brought Abraham outside of his tent. You know, this is really significant. Sometimes we can miss this in the scriptures. But in order to possess the promises that God has provided for us, we've got to get outside. You know, this phrase is being outside, outside of the tent, outside. It's a metaphor for his way of thinking. You know, a tent or the mind is a barrier. He needed to get him outside of the four walls of his thinking, change his perspective. Look up, Abraham. Look up towards God. I want to show you something different. I want to look beyond the natural. Look beyond the limitations of that canvas. Look beyond what you can see in the natural and look up to the stars. God literally gave him a picture. You know, he didn't have the scriptures like we have the scriptures. He didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have the Holy Spirit. So God gave Abraham some physical reminders. Every time he would look up at the stars, every time he'd feel those grains of sand getting right under his toenails, you know, right between his toes, right? Them sandy feet. He'd have a physical reminder of the word, the promise that God gave him. Every time he felt that, I've got a promise. You know, we can apply this to our own life. Every time we have a challenge, every time that we have a symptom, we say, hang on a minute, I've got a promise. That symptom reminds me, I got a promise of healing. We can change our perspective. Every time we have a challenge, we say, oh, we got a challenge? Let me tell you about challenges. I've got someone that calls me an overcomer. Yeah. Amen? You know, we can change the way we think, and it's important that we do in order to take possession of things in a spiritual realm and move them into a physical realm. If we want everything that God says we have, all of these promises, they're already provided for us, but they're in a spiritual realm. But you know what? Prosperity in a spiritual realm doesn't do you anything any good here on earth. You've got to move it into a physical realm. Amen? I cannot go to the airlines and say to them, listen, I want to pay for my American Airlines ticket with my faith. They said, that's lovely. Now give us your money. Right? So I'm believing God. Well, that's awesome, but we need the dollars, right? They want to see that cash manifest or swipe the plastic, right? I mean, there comes a point where what's in a spiritual realm needs to manifest in a physical realm because we are physical people on a physical earth. Now, we won't need any of this stuff when we get to heaven, but right now, this is the season in which we live in. And the way that we do that, the way that we move things from the spiritual realm, the spiritual kingdom into the kingdom of earth, is by faith, by asking and receiving. Amen? Asking and receiving. So Abraham had to go through this point where he rested and believed and acted upon the word of God that God had given him. But in the meantime, he gave him these physical things in order that he might call them to that word to his remembrance. Remember, he gave him this mindset, this ability, before he even made this covenant with him. But in verse 8, Abraham says, yep, I understand what you're saying, Lord. This is Carlyology. He says, Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him to righteousness. But he says, look, in verse 7 actually, he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to possess it. To possess it. So God had given Abraham the land, but he says, you've still got to possess it. Sometimes we fail to see the promises of God, receive them manifest in our life because we didn't realize, oh, there's a possession piece of this. You know, has anyone ever bought a house? Bought a house, right? Or a car, right? Okay, now you can have that beautiful house, you can have that beautiful car sitting outside, but unless you actually go take possession of the keys, you're never going to be able to access it. Right? There comes a point, you have a contract. When you buy a car from a dealership or whatever, or you buy a house, you sign the paperwork, you sign the title deed. That is the proof of ownership. We already have the proof of ownership. That's Hebrews 11 verse 1, right? We have the proof of ownership. Now our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. In the Amplified, it says it's your proof of ownership, your title deed, your guarantee. We have that. Jesus paid for that contract. We have the paperwork. That's why you should have a paper Bible, right? I got it in writing, okay? I got it in writing. We have the proof of ownership. But, you know, Jesus, when he went to and defeated the enemy in hell, he took the keys. We also need the keys. That is our point of access. When we got the keys, it means we take possession. Not only do we just own this freedom and own these promises, we have to step into it and take possession. And Abraham said in verse 8 of Genesis 15, but Abraham said, Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it? There is a possession piece of this. You know, God tells him, you're my possession. You're my possession. You belong to me. I want to show you something in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, I mean, the Old Testament is full of people overcoming in order to take possession. They did all the battles so that we wouldn't have to. We just get to receive, okay? But there's a possession piece of it that applies to us today too. It might not be physically possessing something in the same way that it was in the Old Testament, but now we're possessing something that's in a spiritual realm and bringing it into our natural realm. In the Old Testament, they were really possessing something in a natural realm. It's slightly different, okay? Now look at this. This is in Deuteronomy 4, chapter 1. It says, now therefore, now this is the Lord speaking to Moses. The Lord speaking to Moses, and they're talking about the land that God's given. He says, now therefore, listen, O Israel, to the statutes and the judgment which I'm teaching you to do so that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your Father, God of your fathers, is giving to you. Now, there's a lot in this, okay? But that you may live. This word live is chaya. I'm probably butchering the Hebrew, okay? But it means to live, to prosper, to be restored to health. Isn't that interesting, this word to live? That you get these teachings, this word of God on the inside of you, so that you may live, that you may prosper, that you may be restored to health, that you may be revived from sickness or death. And it also means to be revived from discouragement. It means to grow and to be preserved. How many of you want some of that? Right? We want to overcome discouragement, sickness, death. We want to experience growth, discipleship. We want to be preserved, to be safe. We want to live prosperously. We want to have restored to us our former years of glory, right? Amen. Okay. He says, you know, well, this is how you do it. It's the teaching of God, the words of God that enable you to access these things, enable you to receive. He says that you may live and go in and possess. You know, this word in, it's in different places, but it's bow. And it means to come against the enemy, to attack or to invade, to abide, to eat, and to employ. Now, there's nothing passive in there. Have you noticed that? These are all action words. This is faith has action to it. Amen. This is how we access the promises of God that grace has provided. Grace has provided it for us. But there's still a response piece in receiving. He says to come against the enemy and to attack, to invade, to withstand the enemy. This is important. It says, and possess the land. Now, this is really interesting. This word possess is the word yaris. And it means to drive out the previous tenants. To drive out the previous tenants, to utterly succeed, to seize, to dispossess poverty. You know, we might not have giants in our land, physical giants. You know, in these days, God gave them the promised land, and he says, oh, by the way, there's a few giants in it. Don't worry about those. There's a few giants. You know, there's a few walled cities. There's massive people that will kill you. But don't worry. You're going to go in, and you're going to possess the land. Do you think when they crossed over into the promised land, God didn't already know that there were giants in it? Oh, my gosh. What a surprise. You know, I can't believe I've given you a piece of land that's got giants in it. I thought, you know, roll out the red carpet. This should be easy, lads. Right? How many of you found when you got born again, there were still a few giants in the land? Okay? And so, but God says, but nevertheless, right? You're my son's calling. Hang on a second. Hey, Zach. I'm just teaching right now. Can I call you back? Yeah. All right. All right. They all say hello. I love you. Talk to you later. Bye. Always answer the phone when your kids call. This is important, right? But you know, we need to take possession of the land. It didn't come by, you know, just because there's a few giants in the land doesn't mean that we're not well able to overcome. God has already given the victory to us. He's already given the victory to us. So how do we start to take possession of the land and receive what God has given us? How do we start to do that? First of all, we've got to agree with the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about our situation? You know, Luke 1:38, this is when the angel appeared to Mary, she said to the angel, let it be to me according to your word. This is a really good response when the challenges come. This is a really good response when the symptoms come in our body. This is a really good response when the enemy says, you can't do something or you can't have something or it's not really providing. Hang on a minute. Let it be unto me according to God's word. I'm going to believe God's word. We have to choose to believe beyond the natural circumstances. And when we agree with the word of God, we're planting it in our heart. And when we plant the seed of God's word in our heart, what's it going to do? It's going to grow. It's going to bear fruit. Amen. It's going to bear fruit. So there is a part to possession that is really active. It's not passive. It's very active. It is stepping out and operating by faith. But there's an action piece of this that sometimes in our westernized culture, we can get lazy. You know, we go on mission trips in the normal world, in normal times, okay, BC, before COVID, okay, right? We traveled around the world, and we'll find many miracles happen in third world nations where medicine's not available, where people don't have an option, right? They don't have a B plan, but other than to believe God. But you know, in the luxury of the westernized world that we live in, the freedoms that we enjoy, if we want to, we can live without God, can't we? It's a luxury that other people in other parts of the world, they don't have. But, you know, in order to possess the promises of God's word, we've got to get beyond our natural five senses and realize that let it be unto me according to your word, Lord. We've got to take possession of it. Take possession of it. Have the word of God like it's our very life. Hold it. Cling to it. Elevate it. Act upon it. That's the parable of the sower. Keep that word of God buried in our hearts so that it might produce the 30, 60, 100-fold. I don't know about you, but if 100 folds available of anything, I'm not going to settle for 30. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm sure like 30 is okay, but you know what? I'm going for the full 100, right? I want everything that belongs to me in Christ Jesus. And Abraham and Sarah, they had to do this. They had to move beyond what seemed naturally impossible and choose to believe the word of God. Not just say they believed it, but act upon it. act upon it. Amen. And then we know that the child of promise was born. There's a part of this that sometimes in our comfortable world we can be lacking a little bit. We need to make sure that we take possession in our hearts of the Word of God. Take possession in our hearts of it. And then respond to it. Respond to it. There's a response. We need to take possession of our confession. Possession of our confession. You know, what is coming out of our mouth is really important. Just like Mary said, let it be unto me according to your word. There's going to be times where we do not understand what's going on, where it doesn't look like there's any life, there's any change, there's any difference when we pray. But let it be unto me according to your word. That's when we've taken possession of the word of God in our hearts and we're not moved anymore by what we see with our eyes. Think about this. Sometimes one of the hindrances to us receiving is we're too focused on what we see with our eyes. But you know, you designed to see with spiritual eyes too. You designed to see with the eyes of faith, looking beyond the circumstances, looking beyond the circumstances, and speaking the word of God over them. But it is, you know, our declaration is a manifestation of our meditation. What have you been meditating on? You know, Joshua, the Lord said to Joshua, set this word before you, Joshua 1:8, set this word before you, right? Meditate on it day and night. And through it, basically, you're gonna have good, it's gonna make your way prosperous. It's gonna make your way prosperous. You know, when we meditate on the word of God, this is a way that we take possession of our land. How we take possession of the promises of God is through the meditations of our heart. What we are meditating on is eventually gonna come out of our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Amen? And so if you want to change what you see on the outside, change what is coming out of your mouth. Man, this is really important. We have life and death in the power of our tongue. It's a powerful force. And so he says to Joshua, you know, this is how you get over these giants. This is how you're going to win these battles. This is how you're going to win these challenges and walk in prosperity in every area of your life, in the prosperous soul, in a prosperous body, in prosperous financially. This is how you're going to see the promises of God manifest in your life, moving something from the spiritual to the natural. This is how you do it. You meditate on God's word day and night. You know, the word meditate, it means to speak it, study it, utter it, or roar it like a lion. Think about that. That changes some things about the way that we pray and the way that we see our circumstances, doesn't it? Man, I'm going to meditate on the word. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to study it. And I'm going to roar it like a lion. I'm going to speak to that challenge with boldness and authority and demand that it moves. Man, that's a difference. That's how we start to go from asking to receiving. Amen. How many of you are ready to receive right now? All right, let's stand up. We're just a few minutes over here, so I'm gonna pray for you. How many of you need to receive healing in your body? All right, perfect. You've come to the right place. How many of you are ready to receive healing in your body? Amen. How many believers do I have in here? How many believers believing do I have in here? Come on now, we're ready, right? We've been asking, now it's time to be receiving. It's time to take back what the devil stole. It's time to evict that trespasser. It's time to take possession of our healing, possession of our freedom, possession of our breakthrough in Jesus' name. Right, so those people that stood up, they put your hand up for healing right now. Okay, so people around them, you lay hands on them. Just put your hand on their shoulder. There we go. All right, make sure you got someone laying hands on you. Believers lay hands on the sick. The Holy Spirit doesn't socially distance, okay? So listen, this is an act of faith. Yeah, for some of you, just having your hand laid on a shoulder is an act of faith. But you know, we got to stretch ourselves. We can't keep saying we're believing something without any corresponding actions. You know, faith has corresponding actions. Not to prove our faith. We're not doing the action to prove our faith, but it is an outward natural consequence of our faith. So, Father God, I just release healing in these bodies right now in Jesus' name. Right now, we command that healing power that's in their spirit to flow through every cell, every fiber, every tissue of their being. We command bones to become strong and whole, limbs to be the right length, to be lengthened and equal in Jesus' name. We command organs to function as they were created to. Function as they were created to, with the right amount of response required. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your power, your heat is flowing through us. Your healing power, like warm oil, flowing down through their bodies right now, opening them, their ears up to hear and their hearts to receive what you have planned for them all along. Father God, right now we speak to these eyes and we command them to see. These floaters and this blurriness to be removed. This vision to be restored and clear and crisp, near and far, as it was created to be. In wholeness, restored right now. We command these ankles to become strong, these wrists to become strong and to be released to move in Jesus' name. We command that balance to be centered and sure-footedness, strong and mobile in Jesus' name. Every organ responding to the sound of our voice. Right now we speak to autoimmune conditions and we speak peace over you. We command these immune systems to be at peace, to be at rest, to stop overreacting. Calm down. Calm down right now. Stop over-responding. We speak peace over you. Inflammation, irritation, skin disorders, be removed right now. We command new healthy skin to grow in place. We command hair follicles to be restored to life. Restored to life. Thank you, Jesus. Every hair on your head is numbered. It's numbered. It has an assignment. We speak to teeth and jaw pain, and we command that pain to leave, those jaws to move freely without noise, without clicking, without hindrance. We command those teeth to be rooted and grounded into the gums. Right now, we speak a restoration to periodontal conditions. We command those gums to be regrown in Jesus' name, and those cavities to be filled in. Filled in. I feel like the Lord is healing someone even of a hole. There is a hole right there. Thank you, Jesus. I think this is there's a part of the heart that has a gap where it shouldn't. Right now, we speak a sealing over that. We command blood vessels and intestines to stop leaking. We plug those holes in Jesus' name, and we command these intestines and this circulatory system to be fully functioning. We come against neuropathy and numbness right now. We speak full range of motion and circulation to every cell in your body. I speak health and wholeness over all of the nerves right now, the nervous system. We command these nerves to stop misfiring, that burning, that stinging, that numbness to leave. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that your power is flowing through our body. It's right now, I want to take authority over migraines. People that, are these things hitting home to some people? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, we command those recurring migraines and seizures to stop in Jesus' name. To stop right now. We speak life to the digestive system in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your power is flowing through our backs and our spines and our necks and our shoulders, our elbows, our wrists, our finger joints, our knees, our hips. Thank you, Lord, loosening everything up, full mobility, strength and wholeness, integrity over your pelvis right now. I come against that pelvic pain and we tell it to stop in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we receive all of the healing power that you have for us right now. We receive it into our bodies. We receive it as power, as life to every cell, to every fiber, every tendon, every muscle, every nerve in our body right now. We declare over our bodies, you are a germ graveyard. You are where germs come to die. We declare over our lungs, no virus can enter our lungs and live. No infection can touch our body and multiply. No bacteria and overgrowth can invade the cells in our body. No cells in our body are allowed to mutate. Right now, we set the boundaries. We evict those former tenants of disease and sickness, those former tenants of fear and anxiety and depression and confusion. Right now, we speak deliverance over you. Deliverance over you. Thank you, Jesus. Be loosed from your affliction. Be loosed from your infirmity. And I just declare the peace of God over you that surpasses even your understanding, to fill your heart and your mind and your body in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe and we receive. And all the people said, Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise.